welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
And was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. Wee little man. I had to say it. Okay. Verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone and to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. So as we ask this question we've been asking every week thus far, why Christmas? Today we're going to talk about it's because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That is a beautiful truth. And as Pastor Trent said during the songs, when it says that he came for the ungodly, that's us, by the way. He's so right. Jesus came to seek and save you and I, the lost, the ungodly. And really, I think if we just read 10 verses, the capstone, if you would, of those 10 verses is definitely verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Two actions, one recipient. Two actions, one recipient. To seek and to save the lost. He came to seek the lost, and he came to save the lost effectively. That's the capstone verse. And verses 1 through 9 are a story to illustrate that one great reality. Verse 10 is the premise, the thesis statement, the capstone. Jesus came to do two actions for one recipient. And the verses leading up to it are the illustration of a beautiful way in which we see that happen. The story of Zacchaeus. And so I want to go through the story. The rest of the time we have together, I want to spend our time seeing how Jesus does verse 10 by looking at verses 1 through 9. Okay? That's where we're going today. My cards are out on the table. You know where we're going. So let's jump into it. In this story, we see Jesus came seeking. So Advent, I just want to tell you, his Advent was a search mission. He came seeking. And Zacchaeus is a perfect example of that. In the text, if we go there, in verse 5, hopefully you still have it open. Don't rely on the screens. You just learned. You can't do that. Verse 5, it says, when Jesus came to that place, so he's walking to Jericho. And I just want to make a side note. Verse 1 says he was passing through. Jesus didn't make mistakes. Jesus wasn't just passing through and happened to cross some random group of people that happened to have one random guy up in a tree. And he's like, man, that's an interesting guy. Let me go talk to him. No, he wasn't passing through incidentally. He was passing through intentionally with something on his mind. In verse 5, it says that he came to that place. To what place? The place he was intending to go to. It says he came to that place. He was on a mission. A search mission, seeking. And he looked up and he said to him, hey, random guy. No, that's not what it says, is it? Ye of short stature. No, that's not what he said. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. And I just want us to kind of like sit in Zacchaeus' shoes for just a second. And if they fit, they're so small. Sorry, I just got to ask something. So put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes for a second. That probably made your heart start like pounding out of your chest, right? Just like imagine, Justin, Did that make your heart start pounding a little faster? See, I told you, Rana, you know, and you're like, whoa, oh, don't call me out in the crowd. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Zacchaeus was feeling. He's like, Starts making your heart pound a little bit, make you a little nervous. Everyone's here and he called me out. Yeah, that's how Jesus does it. Because he doesn't love randomly, he loves intentionally. He loves intentionally, he came seeking intentionally, by name. I think there's a great lesson there. Jesus has a personal interest in you. Not a random general interest for just whoever comes to him and just might place their faith in him. No, that's actually not how it works at all. He came and died on the cross specifically with names in mind. Not just for some random person. He's like, oh, I guess you believe. Oh, all right, come on in then. I guess you passed the test. No, he had names in mind. He's a personal God. And so he says, Zacchaeus, I came to this place. Jesus has a personal interest in you. Not a random one, not an impersonal one. He directly pursues people. It's an amazing God. So what do we learn from this? Christians, specifically, what do we learn from this? Well, firstly, I think this should motivate us in how we should do evangelism. Maybe not call people out in a crowd like I just did with Justin and Rana. Maybe not that way. But let's have an intentional heart for the lost. Not just some random person because they look like they just are needy. No. Have a heart for the lost to come up and talk to them, get to know them. Hey, what's your name? What's your story? Can you tell me? Can I actually buy you lunch and just, can I sit down and talk to you? And work the personal conversation and work into that. Let me tell you about the God that I love and serve. Not letting them tell their story, but really you're just thinking in the back of your mind, okay, how do I convert this person? Like actually listening. Actually listening to what they have to say, not just preparing what you're going to say while they're talking and them giving you time. Jesus was personal with people, and I think we should really be personal in our evangelism, too, to really care about individuals. So this should motivate us, but this should also encourage us, not just motivate us and look at his example and say, I want to be like that, but Christian, be encouraged by that reality that he seeks personally. This is how you were saved. That he sought you out personally. And I just hope that just wells up like this excitement that the God of the universe, the creator of all, has a personal interest in you and your name. Man, that should just like, should encourage you. If he waited for you to muster up the desire, he's just twiddling his thumbs until you do. He'd still be waiting on you, and you'd still be in your sin. But he wasn't waiting. He wasn't twiddling his thumbs. He sought after you personally. He sought after you personally. Romans 3:10 even just teaches us. It says, as it was written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands, and man, this is a critical line. No one seeks for God. He's not just waiting for you to muster up, you seeking after him. He personally sought you out because he knew you didn't have it in you to seek after him. We're filled with sin and selfishness. He's filled with love for you. So he sought you out before you would ever seek him out. It says he loved us before we could ever love him. And so those who do end up pursuing God only do so because he first prompted it in your heart. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me. No one. Unless the Father who sent me draws him in. So, Christian, be motivated by Jesus' example, but be encouraged that this is how God loved you. Just like he loved Zacchaeus and called Zacchaeus out and sought after. He wasn't randomly walking through Jericho. Says he got to that place and he looked up, called him by name. He sought out Zacchaeus, and that's the same way he loves you. He drew you to himself and he sought after you because he loved you before you could ever love him. What a personal God. What a personal God.
quote from a pastor in California, John MacArthur. I like this quote. He's preaching on this text, actually. I was like, man, that's really good what he said. He said, any seeking on the part of a sinner must be in response to the seeking on the part of God. It's just true. Any seeking on the part of a sinner must be in response to the seeking first on the part of God. And I think he's so right. And he does this because he loved us first. So, in this story, we see the first action. He seeks. He seeks. So, his advent was a search mission. A very intentional search mission. But it wasn't just a search mission. He also came to what? Save. This was a rescue mission. Not just a search mission with intentional directness, but a rescue mission to come and save. I like in verse 5, did you notice this when I read it the first time? In verse 5, he says, I must stay at your house. And then later, do you know what he said in verse 9? Salvation has come to your house. He came to rescue and to be the salvation for Zacchaeus. He said, I came to your house. I need to come to your house. He comes to his house and he says, salvation has come to your house. What does this teach us? Well, firstly, it teaches us that Jesus is salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He is our rescue. So maybe you need to hear this today. So please chime into this and hear this. It might be vital for you. There is no other gate into heaven. There is no other means of salvation. Because oftentimes we can start to rely on some very false means of salvation. Your morality, as good as you think you might be, never going to get you into heaven. Your baptism you had, it's not getting you into heaven. Your membership at a church or your daughter's or your son's membership at a church is not getting them into heaven. The prayer that you once prayed is not your ticket into heaven. Your parents' salvation is not your salvation. Your grandparents' salvation is not your salvation. Your reputation is not your salvation. You could have everyone else fooled except for God. How much you serve in church, guys, it's not a ticket to salvation. How much you give financially to the church, to Lottie Moon, however many angels you take off that tree, it's not your salvation. You won't be saved by any of it. But man, we start to fool ourselves and think that we can. Jesus alone is our salvation. A belief in who he is, a belief in what he did on the cross, a trust in Jesus, a reliance on Jesus, an allegiance to him, a commitment towards him. Jesus alone is your means of salvation. He says, I came. I need to be at your house. He goes to his house and he says, salvation has come to your house. Jesus alone is our salvation. So that's the first thing it teaches. Second thing that it teaches is Zacchaeus clearly needed salvation. Zacchaeus needed this salvation. And yeah, he was doing good worldly. I mean, he was a little short, but he was doing good. You can have some short people in some pretty high places. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously. Yeah, sorry, I'm done. My friend here is just like the king of puns, and so I just had to throw that in there. That wasn't in my notes. I'm just saying. Now, I mean, so in verse 2, we see that Zacchaeus was doing good. He really was. He had climbed the ladder. Sorry. He had climbed the ladder of his job, and he was richer than all his neighbors. Richer than all of his neighbors. And so maybe, it doesn't say in the text, but maybe he thought that he didn't need what Jesus had to offer. I don't know if that's true. It says he was very interested in seeking after Jesus, and so maybe, but maybe he really just thought he didn't need what Jesus had to offer. Even if he did, I think sometimes you and I don't think we do. Sarah and I, when we were in Springfield, babysat this couple that had a number of kids, and they went off for like a week for vacation, and so we actually house sat, and we were kind of parents to these four kids. for about a week. And that was before we had Judah, and so we had no idea what we were doing. This family was crazy. Don't follow after them. Don't ask us to do that. I don't know how those kids survived. But they did. We survived, more importantly, I think. But we made it. And I remember when we were parenting these kids, and one of them just would come home the first day from school, muddy, ripped up jeans, and we're like, hey, buddy, you got to get changed, you know, go get in the shower. And so he did, but he threw his clothes just on his bed, and we just kind of didn't say anything about it. And the next day came, we get up, we're getting them all ready, making breakfast for him, and he throws the same clothes on. And we're like, ah, buddy, you got to change. And he goes, no, it's fine, no one cares. And we're like, yeah, you got to put some clean clothes on. That's muddy. You don't want mud. And he goes, I want to wear these clothes. And so he starts, you know, getting upset. And we're like, please, come on. You really need to be clean. And we had that argument. Finally, he puts on new clothes, but he throws that on the bed. If I were a good parent, I would have thrown him in the laundry before he got home. I didn't. I left him there. And so the next day, you know what? Same argument we had this next morning. I don't know why he loved those jeans so much, but he needed them on. And so he's like, I don't need to wear clean clothes. And I'm like, yes, you do. You know, and so we're just going back and forth arguing. Any parents just feel a witness in your heart? Okay. I don't know how old he was, maybe 8. But I think sometimes you and I can have the same heart that he had. And just thinking, we don't need. But we do that with Jesus. We don't need what he has to offer. Like, I don't need it. Yes, you do. No, I don't. I'm fine. I'm richer than everyone else around me. I'm doing great in my business. I've got no hurts, no issues. My life is soaring. I don't need what he has to offer. And I want to be a person that loves you like I loved that little boy and say, yes, you do. You do need what he has to offer. Even though Zacchaeus was doing great in his job, he was richer than anyone else. He needed Jesus for one simple reason. He needed Jesus because he was a sinner. We see that in verse 7. Everyone's grumbling. Why? Because Jesus came to eat with a sinner. He needed Jesus for that simple fact. That one reality that Zacchaeus was a sinner now qualified him for needing Jesus, and it qualifies all of us. Jesus came to save exactly that group of people. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but verse 15, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. And how does he do that? You don't have to turn there again, but 1 John 3 says that he does this by taking away our sin. And so if you don't know Jesus, can I just in love to you, tell you really quick, you qualify for needing Jesus. You need salvation. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And I just want to summarize briefly what we're celebrating here at this church. Every week, not just for Christmas, but every week, what we celebrate here is something we call the gospel. And the gospel is, it's just another word for the good news. And here's the good news. Wait till the end, because it doesn't sound like good news at first. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. Every single one of us sin, and the effect of that sin is very simple, twofold. Firstly, there's a penalty for that sin. It's death. Not only do we now deserve death for our sin, but secondly, we are now too dirty to step into the perfect presence of a holy God. Two massive issues. We deserve death, the penalty of our sin, and we no longer can step into the presence of God. Those are the effects of the reality that is true for all of us, that we all struggle with sin. But here's the good news part. The good news is that Jesus came to fix both of those issues for us by one action on the cross. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you have sinned. And so, yes, you're deserving of the penalty of death. And yes, you are no longer worthy to step into the presence of God. But Jesus Christ on the cross fixed both of those issues for those who put their faith in him. Truly, just think about that. He took the penalty, the death that you deserve. He said, I will do that for you.
I will take that death. I will take that penalty. And now, in doing that, he bore all your sins. So now you are white as snow to step into the presence of God. That's the good news that we celebrate here. Every single week, we are standing here worshiping, singing to a God that has made us clean and taken away our sin so that we can be in relationship with God. And so, if you wouldn't say you're a Christian today, can I just tell you, that's the good news that we celebrate? And that's the good news that you need. That's the good news that you need. Jesus came to seek and to save, to be the salvation for one group of people. Who is it? The lost. We're sinners. The lost. Zacchaeus was lost. Christian, you once were lost. I think it's in Isaiah, right? Where he says, we like sheep have gone astray. We were lost. We even sing the songs. Maybe you can help me remembering which ones these are. How good are you in your songs, memory? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What was it? Amazing Grace. We sing about how we were lost, but now we are found. What about this one? Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Anyone know it? Oh, come on now, from the worship team. Come thou fount. We sing about the reality that we were lost, but now we are found. We're found. Him who came to seek and to save the lost, we now sing that we're found. So I just want to speak to those who still might say, yeah, I'm lost. I don't follow Jesus, so I guess that puts me in the lost category. Can I just wrap up in talking to you? Man, I've got such a heart for you to hear this message. My promise to you is that Jesus seeks out the lost to give you salvation. No matter what your history is, and you might be thinking, man, you don't know my history. No matter what your history is, no matter what your current struggle is, no matter what your reputation is, no matter what secrets you're hiding, this is why he came to earth. That very reason, to seek and to save you. My only ask of you, as we're wrapping up, is that you would receive him the way that Zacchaeus did. Do you notice how Zacchaeus received Jesus, his Savior, and the one who seeks after him? Do you know how Zacchaeus received Jesus? It says in verse 6 that he received him with joy. With joy! You came to seek me personally. You said my name, and you bring me salvation, my greatest need. He received him with joy, and I hope you would receive him with joy, your greatest need. But not only with joy, but that you would call him Lord. Do you notice what he says in verse 8? Zacchaeus stood, and he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, I pray that you would receive Jesus today joyfully and call him the Lord of your life. But be ready, because that changes everything. Zacchaeus, the first thing he did when he called Jesus Lord, changed his whole entire financial portfolio. Get ready. It changes how you live. He now started just having a heart for the needy. He started giving it. Just get more than he needed to. He just started giving it. The reality is that true salvation will never look like you staying the exact same as you were before. Never. It's never that. You never look like the exact same person. Something changes within you. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully, called him Lord, and then changed how he lived. How you spend your money, how you treat other people. And let me tell you, it is so worth it. It's so worth it. And I'm not just speaking to unchurched people who might be visiting for the Christmas season. I don't want you to feel called out. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to the non-Christian who attends church regularly. Speaking to them too. So you're okay. Maybe you go to church all the time, but you're still like Zacchaeus. There are things in your life that you've never felt like turning away from. Not for Jesus. But you need to turn away from them. As an act of allegiance and commitment and living out truly calling him Lord. So maybe that's you, but you've been attending church all your life. I'm also talking to you. I pray that you would actually receive Jesus joyfully. Call him Lord, truly call him Lord,
and let it show. And maybe getting rid of those things that you've been holding so tightly onto your whole life. Today you can pray with me if you'd like up at the front. I'll be up here, and there will actually be a prayer team as well, so those two individuals can come up. You can come pray with any of us three. We'd love to pray with you and talk to you about this salvation in Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the salvation that you offer, the seeking that you give. Lord, we're undeserving of it. And joyfully grateful. Joyfully grateful. So Lord, would you now pull on anyone's heart, draw them to you as your word says that you do. Lord, I pray that we would not be the same because of it. We thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.